There's a peaceful calm.
Neil Boron live? Frankly, I don't remember him any other way.
And if you're so far gone, you can't see the shore. But just lift your eyes and look to the Lord.
Okay, so this is funny. I'm sitting here letting this song play out a little bit because I'm thinking this is very appropriate for where we're going in our conversation. And what I imagine, Zach, man, you got to talk to me here for just a second. I imagined Lisa sitting right here in this chair, just to my right, and that she's swaying back and forth, hands raised in the air. Getting
oh, I can
it,
see it.
Right?
Oh,
Kathy
yeah.
over here sitting quietly with her eyes closed. Everybody's digging the music. Desi Rain does an incredible job here. This is North Point, by the way. They're coming to Kingdom.
Yes, indeed.
So then, just as we get to the last lyric where I'm ready to jump on board here and start talking, Lisa texts me, love this song with a big red heart. And there's Kathy with the crying. She's crying, laughing so hard. So let me welcome these two ladies to the conversation because, Lisa, you better fess up, but I know for sure you were kind of swaying to the music, weren't you?
Man, this is one of my favorite songs. My daughter turned me on to it a couple weeks ago, and we are just rolling with it. It's beautiful, and it's just yes. Yeah, so I got my hands raised, and I'm in it.
We know you so well, Kathy. You know this woman. Could she do anything less than just get into it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Lisa, you need to be a little less reserved. What were you going to say, Kathy?
I was going to say we both. Not just come out of our shells, but become who we're supposed to be, and we're so free. Mm-hmm. That yeah, we were dancing in your studio. It was great. It was so great sitting there.
And I would throw it back to Zach right now, but he's eating pretzel sticks. So might not be the best moment to try to bring him back to the conversation. Anyhow, sure miss seeing you guys. I think it's been 2 weeks now since you were here, but I hope you enjoyed Easter yesterday, the resurrection celebration. And I got to ask before we go on, what did you guys do for Easter? Let me start with Kathy. What was going on in Texas?
Yeah. Oh, in Texas, we had a house full. We had three of our four sons here, and my sister was in town because her son just had a baby. And then we had Dave's nephew and his wife, and their four children under the age of four at our table. So it was fun, and it was good. We had leg of lamb. It was a really fun celebration.
Wow. What about you, Lisa?
Well, we just chilled yesterday. We went to church with my son and daughter, and my son's girlfriend was up from Virginia Tech, and we went to their church, and it was amazing. Just a powerful message and just so encouraging. Mm-hmm. And we came back, and all the kids made a dish, so I didn't have to cook as much, and it was just really nice to just, you know, sit on the back porch in the sunshine and just enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, we had kind of done our Easter celebration a week early. We had everyone in the family over a week early because it's, you know, they have to get to the in-laws and all that stuff. But then Saturday, Zach and Missy and Zach Jr. were over and hanging out with our grandson, Jacob. He was there, too. So yesterday was just, we went to church, took my mom out for brunch, and had a quiet day, took a walk on the bike path, but so thrilled for what the resurrection means, because it means that Jesus makes good on promises, including the fact that he came to set captives free and
amen,
right, to provide sight for the blind and healing for the oppressed. And that's the story of what we've been talking about here in our 12-step series. So let me just ask, for you know, obviously there's got to be some who today are catching step 12 and it's like, oh, you've been doing a series? Like, I've just missed the whole thing. Others have been along for the whole ride, and I've gotten emails and text messages from some of you who've really just been so blessed by this whole thing. But let me just, as we start, before we even get to step 12, let me recap that around the first of the year, this idea came up of doing a series about the 12 steps, and both of you have been involved in 12-step ministry in a variety of different ways over the years, for many years. And I was thinking, you know, with New Year's resolutions and stuff, people always promising they're going to change, they're going to try harder, something's going to be different, but in many ways, nothing ever changes. And how do we experience lasting change in our life? How is it that God brings this about in our lives? And of course, he can speak it into existence with one miraculous word, and sometimes that's how it happens. But for others, it's the process of just getting real and saying, Lord, I can't live this life in my own strength. I need your assistance. I need the help of your people. And we trust God to intervene and to put around us the people who can help us walk through this. And we admit that we need help. And we find it in Christ first and foremost, and in his people after that. But both of you have stories that relate to this whole thing. And let me just ask for the brief capsulized version of each of your stories. Because if somebody said, well, why are you involved in 12-step ministry? How has it affected your life? Why are you doing this series? Help us understand each of your stories. And let me start with Lisa on this one.
So I was a hopeless, homeless, godless addict to alcoholic, living on the streets of D.C., selling my body for money to get high. I've been incarcerated. I've been in the nut wards. I've just about experienced all that you can experience when you live on your own. And nothing was working. And it was either God was going to change me or he was going to have to take me. And he provided me this opportunity with the 12 steps. And it really changed my entire life. And it created a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, amen for that. And mm-hmm. Kathy, what about you? Mm-hmm.
Well, I was the mother of three young children when I had my first total nervous breakdown shortly after the murder of my brother. And I was a woman that had been raised in a Christian home, knew the Bible, loved Jesus, but it just wasn't working for me. And I did not realize the effects of alcoholism in my family line in various places that had affected the way that I thought and saw the world. And I'm telling you, that's when I met Lisa and heard about the 12 steps, and I got into a program myself for friends and families of alcoholics, and it was one of the things that the Lord did to really heal me and change my life.
Yeah, and you didn't bring it up, so we don't need to dwell on it, but is it fair to say that you had some deep wounds you were carrying from the past as well that were influencing your thinking as an adult believer? Because I've experienced similar things in my own life where we get some twisted thinking based upon our history and some wounds that we've had. And so God was using some of this to help straighten out that thinking, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. For me, I experienced sexual abuse trauma as a child. I also was plagued with nightmares, and I couldn't do anything to stop those. And more than anything, that was a source of shame for me because they were so bad and so vivid. And it drove a lot of this perfectionism and just trying to conquer things on my own. And, yeah, it was definitely out of hurt and confusion and wounding, for sure.
It's such a miracle that God has worked so profoundly in each of your lives that brought you to the place where you have the ability to speak into the lives of so many other people and encourage them. And what an honor it's been to do this 12-step series here at MBL. And don't worry, you're not going away forever. No matter what happens, we'll get you back for a big wrap-up of some kind and or future conversations about these kinds of things, because you're like sisters now. You're not just authors and friends. God's really knit all of our hearts together, and we're just so grateful that you've taken this much time to, you know, hang with us and encourage us and stuff. But let me just ask one second. Lisa, one of the things that has come up a number of times, we'll hear someone call in and go, yeah, the 12 steps. But, you know, in my story, I just called out to God and I was instantly delivered from something. Well, right now I could tell you a story about someone I know well who was instantly delivered from alcohol and cigarettes the moment she received Christ, but through her life has struggled with unforgiveness and bitterness and stuff like that. So the point is, there's many things to be worked on, not just substance abuse or whatever. But I guess what I'm getting at is, yes, God can sometimes just speak a word and we're healed and delivered from something. But isn't it a blessing in another sense that we get the opportunity to live life together, rubbing elbows with other believers and other strugglers, other fellow strugglers, and we get to walk this thing out because there's something to be gained in the process, isn't there? Or am I out on a limb again?
No, you're absolute. Well, if you're out there, I'm out there with you. So, No, that's absolutely the truth. Because here's the thing: it's almost, and I've used this expression before. It's like whack-a-mole. When we try to take care of things ourselves, we can get something under control. But what happens is it usually reformulates into something else that's troublesome. So, for example, if you've got a problem with drugs and alcohol, you may be able to get that under control. But what about all the things that, like you said, that happened while you were using? Are you able to surrender the bitterness? Are you able to let go of those things? Or sometimes it manifests in a whole nother addiction. It could be you start to get addicted to exercise, something that gives you endorphins. And what we want, and the beauty of finding recovery, is it's balance. It's balance in our lives. And it's God is at the helm, and we are in the co-pilot seat, and we get to rely on Him but utilize our self-will that He's given us and align that up with what He has designed for us.
So well said. Kathy, anything you'd add to that?
You know, that was so well said. Absolutely. I was thinking about how the process of growing through these things allows these truths to sink into our being, and it prepares us for the weight of the favor that we have, that the Lord wants to give us. It prepares us for the weight of other things that will come into our lives and other platforms He gives us to share the good news. Those things are weighty things, and if we don't go through these, through the process of understanding His love and might in all of these different areas, like Lisa was describing, then we don't really own them, and we don't have the strength to carry what's coming.
Man, those are two really great comments. Here's what I want to do. I want to read the 12 steps, the first 11 steps. Then when we come back from our break, Lisa will dig into step 12. But let me speak to those who are listening for just a moment. You've been a part of these conversations. You've had the opportunity to hear Lisa and Kathy pouring their hearts out and helping us to understand just exactly what they described, how this process of getting with God and getting with God's people can be used to refine us. That's all we're really talking about here. Because some of you, I think, have had the temptation to tune out saying, well, you know, I'm not an addict to alcohol or crack cocaine or something, so this really doesn't apply to me. Oh, it sure does, because there's a lot of stuff that, truthfully, we are wrestling with and have not been able to overcome. Many of you have responded to this whole series by saying you wanted information about porn addiction. For some, it's gambling addiction of you or a friend or a loved one. But it isn't even just the formal stuff like Sexaholics Anonymous or Gamblers Anonymous or, you know, ministries related to porn addiction or substance abuse of some kind. But it's people that are trapped in fear and codependency and just ongoing behaviors that you've had a hard time saying goodbye to and you don't know where to begin. Well, the answer is you begin by turning to the Lord, and you say to Him, I need help, and I'm wrestling here, and I'm unable to change myself. Well, guess what? The grace of God that was available to us to save us is available to perfect us. Galatians 3:3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Will you now be perfected by the flesh? No, it's going to be God who does this work in our hearts, but we need to open ourselves to the reality that we need this kind of work. So the 12 steps say this. I'm going to read the first 11 for those who may not be familiar with them, but I'm going to try to move quickly through this if I can. And then when we come back, we'll get to step number 12 today. But step 1 says that we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step 2 came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3 made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. Step 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number 7, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. So what is step 12? We'll find out when we return with best-selling authors Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray. If you want more information about their ministries, go to lisakratzthomas.com or kathygraydreamers.com. I can never be
free without you. There's stuff you usually don't talk about in the lobby at church, which is why we offer Neil Boron Live.
Some of you today could immediately identify what it felt like when your chains were broken and you began to experience freedom for the first time in Christ. And love to have some of you tell that story. Others, admittedly, you may say, well, I'm somewhere in the middle of these steps or I need to get started, but the bottom line is I'm struggling. And you know, the first step to healing is admitting that we need help. And we turn to God Himself for that help and then later to others. But, you know, that's what the 12 steps are about. It's why we've been discussing them here, and we want to dig in today by taking a look at step 12, which is where we're at in the series. But listen, no matter where you're at, you're welcome to join us. We are going to make some signed copies of the books from Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray available to you today just for your willingness to participate. So don't be bashful. Change your name if you need to, but don't hesitate to join us with any kind of a question or comment about any of this. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, Lisa, you're the official keeper of the steps here. You've been the one who's brought us up to speed on what each step says. So what is step 12?
So I'm going to read it again. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to those who suffer, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So basically, the joy of living is the theme of the 12 step, of this 12 step. Action is a key word. Giving that asks no reward. Love that has no price tag. So that's a lot in a nutshell, but it's actually broken into three steps. Do I have static, you guys? I'm sorry. I don't mean to just break in, but I hear static. Do you guys hear static on your end?
No, I think it's totally in your head, Lisa.
Okay. Well, no. That could be very possible.
Wait a minute. Let me do this. Let me ask Kathy to comment, and Zach can work that out with
sure.
you for a second. So
perfect.
Hang on just a second, because, Kathy, you heard where she was going with that. I want to give you a chance to pick it up here for just a second. Commenting on
sure.
the three aspects of step 12 or wherever you want to go to piggyback what she just said.
No, she's absolutely right. There's three parts to step 12. There's a promise of a spiritual awakening. There's an action of carrying this message of hope to other people. And then there's the practice of the principles of the steps in every area of our lives. So those are the three aspects. And it's just a power-packed step because it says you will have had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. That's quite a promise. And, you know, Lisa and I have said pretty much every week, these steps are in order for a reason. You don't start at 9 by making amends and then go back to your own personal inventory and then jump ahead to step 11 and start, really concentrating on prayer and meditation. They're in order for a reason, and especially this one, because we don't want to carry an incomplete message to other people
yeah.
if we really haven't done a thorough work on the let the Lord do a thorough work in our lives as we have given our all in working these steps.
So the implication is that something has happened in our life, you pointed that out clearly, that if we've done the work, by now something will have happened. But is it possible, and this is just me asking as an outside observer kind of thing, just like some people can go to church and never really enter in, you know, they went out from us because mm-hmm. they were never of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it possible to kind of fake your way to this point, just showing up at the meetings and tacitly going along with what's without really letting your heart enter in?
Absolutely. However, you know, we're not talking about, we're saying as a result of working these steps. So we're not talking about someone who is just going to meetings and sort of talking about this with someone. They're actually working it. And in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the original 12-step literature, it says rigorous honesty is absolutely necessary. And so there's a measure of willingness there to operate in rigorous honesty. Otherwise, you know, you'll know the truth and it shall set you free, Jesus said. He wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So there is a reckoning with God that we do in these steps that gets down to the most basic truth that we can muster. I mean, you know, we find out more about ourselves as time goes on. But if we are operating through these steps in integrity with the honest truth and being thorough, then I think it's impossible to not have had a spiritual awakening.
Yeah. By the way, Lisa's back, which is the good news, because we had her, then we lost her, then we have her again. And I just know this, historically speaking, that when technology starts getting in the way, the enemy doesn't want something to be said. So we'll just know that by God's grace, you're back. And Lord, pray for all the technology to work out, because there's some important things that need to be shared here for sure.
Yeah.
But Lisa, I had kind of asked Kathy, you know, isn't it possible to fake your way through these 12 steps? But she was saying that some of the other materials indicate that there's a need for rigorous honesty. But if you have legitimately entered into these concepts, then I guess the assumption is there's no way that you would be at this point without having had some kind of a spiritual awakening. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. You're throwing the towel. I mean, if you're not surrendering, if you haven't, your relationship with God has not improved, if you're not doing the work, then it's not your time, you're not meant to be there, or you're just not willing. And I mean, it's just as plain as that. So it's unfortunate that there's people that cannot really get to a point of rigorous honesty, but most people can. And I have never, in all of the meetings and all the people that I've worked with who have truly given themselves to these suggestions, I've never encountered anyone, unless they were mentally ill, who has not been able to grasp and develop a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty.
Mm-hmm. What also is interesting about step 12, it says, we tried to carry this message to others who suffer and practice these principles in all our affairs, which is exactly what we've been doing with this 12-step series, I guess. You guys probably realize that, but, you know, this has been an example of taking what you've learned and passing it on, which really sounds strangely like the process of discipleship, right? Learning who Jesus is and the things that we've seen in the presence of many witnesses, and trust them to others, you know, who will do likewise. So, Kathy, can you comment on that? Because there's a real biblical process going on here.
Yeah, there is. It is, in a sense, discipling. However, you know, we want to make sure that our listeners are aware that the 12 steps and these meetings, as amazing as they are and how the Spirit of God works deeply in these rooms and through this process, it's not the body of believers. It's not your church. It's not your church community. And so in that sense, I just want to separate out discipling in terms of, I mean, it is discipling in the 12 steps, but it's not the traditional
sure.
discipling. So I just feel like that's important. But it absolutely is. And it's, you know, we're trying to share what we have learned in order for others to experience the kind of freedom and joy that we have experienced, and you just really want to give it away.
To take what you've learned and to pass it along is discipleship, and it's, you know, discipleship happens in the church, and discipleship happens in our jobs, you know, with mentors and that kind of thing, and discipleship happens in a 12-step program in the sense that you're taking what you've learned and you're willing to pass it on, right? So that you don't
keep
it to yourself. And isn't there a phrase that says something about not keeping stuff to yourself? Like what you, what is that phrase? Lisa, you know all these off the top of your head. Do you remember?
Yeah, you got to give it away to keep it.
That's what it is.
You definitely have to do that. But the thing about this step, just like all the steps previous, I'm so glad that you read them, is, you know, it's got three parts, and it's in order for a reason. It says, number one, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. That's the first part. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry the message to those who suffer. That's the second part. Third part, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And that they are in order. Those concepts are in order in this step. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of people that come into 12-step recovery, and they want to fellowship and hang out. It's another social group for them. And you alluded to this at the beginning. And people will not change. They will not change. They will not receive these spiritual awakenings, the true spiritual awakenings, unless they're practicing these steps. Because what happens is we get these feelings and we misinterpret feelings. I mean, let's just say, I mean, I was living on the street. I had no real relationships. Nobody wanted me around. I felt so bad about myself, So I walk into the rooms of 12-step. Well, after 6 months, I've got friends. I've cleaned myself up. People want to, they want to hear what I have to say. I feel like I have really arrived. And that's a good thing. But that's not the thing. That's the thing that leads to the thing. That's where God can get your attention. Because if it's just about having some kind of awakening, you're not going to get the foundation and the roots unless you've worked these steps. Now, that is not to say that we can do that without the grace of God. These steps lead us to the grace of God. But on our own, we are basically helpless. It is the Father who does the work.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the fact, and it's largely why we're doing this series, is that there are biblical principles behind the 12 steps. And the whole phrase, beauty for ashes, both of you would say that your testimony includes some real brokenness being turned into beautiful things that God is now using for his glory. But there was some real pain and suffering in the past, and you can feel a sense of that in step number 12, where it says, you know, we tried to carry this message to others who suffer and to practice these in all of our affairs. Ultimately, that's going to lead to blessing in the lives of other people. But it's just kind of a natural outgrowth of what's occurred in our lives, I think. I don't want to go too far with that because I'm not entirely familiar with everything that happens in a 12-step setting. But, Kathy, let me give you a chance to comment again, if you don't mind, because obviously when somebody's gotten to step 12, some pretty amazing stuff has happened in the life of somebody who's really experience suffering, but today they're experiencing some victory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking about how when I walked into the rooms of 12 steps, I was a failure. I mean, I had failed at almost everything that I had really wanted to succeed at. And that was a huge gift because it made me willing and ready to start looking at my life in a more objective way with the help of others and with the help of the steps and with the help of God. And by the time that I had gotten to step 12, I actually had something that other people wanted. Like Lisa was saying, I had something to offer. And, you know, I've had people, you know, when I'm meeting with someone in, say, a coffee shop, I've had a pastor run into me and he's like, well, what are you doing? And, you know, I tell him a little bit of my story and they're like, I don't even believe that. Like, it's like you look at Lisa, there's no way she ever had that life. And
right.
I've had people literally say to me, I don't even believe you had a nervous breakdown and you were a total mess. And so I just laugh and I think, why do you think I have anything to offer other people? It is the fruit of failure.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff I could say right now, even some of it based on what I shared at Staff Devotions this morning, but I'm not going to get into it in the interest of time. Maybe it'll come up later. But we're the recipients of a really rich conversation here on MBL over the last few months. We've been focusing on the 12 steps with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray, two wonderful sisters in the Lord who were in our area recently, just a few weeks ago, and they had the privilege of being at City Church in Batavia with Pastor Marty McDonald and to speak at a pastor's breakfast or gathering here in our area. They've had a tremendous impact in so many lives, including some of yours. And I want to give you a chance to jump on board and just talk about some of the things God's showing you, some of the things you want to affirm. Sometimes I'll say to one of them, hey, do you want to add anything to what was just said? Well, here's your chance. I want to give you who are listening an opportunity to add something to what's been said by way of your own experience. It may be a question or a comment, but I need you to know that your participation is not only welcome, it's vital to the conversation because it's about the people of God getting together and being transformed by the Spirit of God. That means all of us together, collectively, recognizing our need for God's intervention in our lives, in our situations, in our failures, in our brokenness, to be used ultimately for His glory. So phone lines are open, and like I said earlier, some of you heard me mention this, we've got signed copies of Light in Our Darkness from Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray, and we're going to make two of them available to those who participate today. So if you want to get your name in a hat, don't hesitate. Pick up the phone and give us a phone call, and let's talk about what God's been saying to you in the series. Some of you are familiar with 12-step programs. You've been through them. You have a comment to make because of your own experience. Others know that you're faced with a situation in your own life that represents brokenness or the life of someone you love, and you don't know where to begin or how to encourage them in the place where they're at. All of it is fair game. Any question or any comment, we'd love to hear it, and the phone lines are open, so get to the phones. 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll continue with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray on a Monday edition of NBL.
NBL is Neil Boron Live. Oh, yeah.
So here's the number, 800-684-2848. That's a toll-free number, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Any question or comment you want to add today is welcome, and definitely would love to hear from some 12-step veterans. You went through a program at some point, you were dealing with something in your life, and you've got a testimony to share, and the reason why it's so vital that you voice that is because of the number of people who are scared to death about ever telling the truth about the situation they're in because they're up against something that's overwhelming. They haven't been able to handle it in their own strength, and we were never meant to, by the way. And you're sensing, those of you who are in that place, are sensing that God is calling you into relationship with Himself and with others, and perhaps even to a 12-step program to help you deal with some of what you're dealing with, what you're experiencing. But you're afraid, and you don't know where to begin. You don't know how this is going to turn out, and it's going to take a step of faith to say, you know what, I'm the person who needs this. I need some help. And whether you're in that place or whether you've already been through this process and you can provide some encouragement, either way, we'd love to get some feedback or any other comment you've got. So it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Lisa, let me throw it back to you for just a second. When you first decided to get help, can you describe what you were feeling on that day? Because previously you tried to manage your life like so many of us do, right? In your own flesh, managing your situation, thinking it maybe tomorrow's going to be better than today type thing. And there was a point at which you finally said, I can't do it anymore. What did that look like?
Oh, you know, it's kind of bittersweet because it was probably I was in the most pain I had ever been in emotionally and spiritually. But I also had a feeling that there was a possibility that there was something out there that could help me. And see, that's just the grace of God. That is just Him wooing us and never, ever giving up on us. And I remember those days, and I remember making a decision to go to a meeting that night. And I had been to many meetings before, and I always went for the wrong reasons. I went to meet guys. I went to get people off my back. I, you know, I went because I was in rehab and they made me. But I decided I wanted to go because I remember sitting on that curb and, you know, I had left my abusive pimp boyfriend in the hotel room. I went out and I sat on that curb and I looked up and I was like, you know what, if you're real, you either change me or you kill me, but I cannot live this way anymore. And, you know, Neil, the thing about this whole spiritual awakening, I was living in the dark. I was in the dark. I didn't know I was in the dark. I had no idea I was living in the dark. And sometimes you don't know you're in the dark until God brings you into the light. And, you know, here's the beautiful thing about being awakened spiritually. When you're in a dark room and you crack, I mean, it can be completely dark. And if there is just a crack in the door, light comes in and illuminates that room. And so what I found when I walked into those rooms was I found light. And, you know, it goes right along with Ephesians 4:5, where it says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I'm telling you, I was sleeping. I was dead in my own resources. And I caught the light. I mean, that moment I caught the light of Christ because I felt there was hope, there was love, there was something that maybe, possibly, I could not even fathom how walking into a room with a bunch of people who were supposedly like me, how that was going to help me. But that light was so bright that it started to illuminate all the possibilities, and my life from that very moment began to change.
All right, now I don't want to, that is so well said and so powerful what you just described. Kathy, I don't want to try to put words in your mouth or make up a story that isn't real, but your experience with 12-step ministry was as a believer. So, you know, you didn't know the Lord, I'm sorry, you knew the Lord going in, and yet you were experiencing a different kind of darkness, maybe a self-imposed darkness of just refusing to believe the truth of God's word or believing somehow that it didn't apply to you or that his unconditional love wasn't for you. But whatever, would you agree that there was a sense of darkness that God took away and provided instead his marvelous light? Because that's, in many ways, the same story, although you guys come from different worlds, different backgrounds.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I would say, you know, part of this step is we tried to carry this message to others who suffered. And, you know, the light that first shone into my life through 12 step was Lisa carrying that message. It's why she was so confident that there was hope for me when she talked to me when I was in the middle of this nervous breakdown, clinical depression. What was really scary for me, Neil, was, you know, I knew I had the answers. I knew Jesus was real. I knew that Christianity was the real deal. I just couldn't make it work for me. And in my case, it took the 12 steps and working through this for God to, kind of like the disciples who kept saying, well, are you going to be king now? Are you going to be king now? So now are you going to be king? You know, they didn't understand that Jesus had to die, even though he kept saying, I'm going to have to die. I'm going to have to die, but then I'll rise again. You know, and then they're, now are you going to be king after he died and rose again? And he's like, now I'm going to, and I'm going to send my spirit to you. You know, it was like I had personally taken all of these truths and I put them through the filter of my own need, of my suffering, and it just wasn't working. And so the first crack of light in my dark room really was Lisa saying, you're going to be okay. And I, you know, having someone that was that confident and not afraid of the level of despair I was in, it meant everything because I borrowed the hope that she had from the 12 steps until I could have my own.
Wow. All right. So the question is, where are you at today? Many of you have been listening to the series, some of you perhaps just listening for the first time today, but you either feel like you're sitting on a curb, unable to live another day with what's going on in your life, whether it's self-imposed or something that's gone on in your marriage or maybe with one of your children, but there's something that's just way bigger than you, and you know that you're not able to handle this alone and you're looking for assistance. Some of you maybe because of deception or pain from your past, some kind of abuse or something. It's clouded your thinking on some of these things. You know that Christianity is real, but you haven't been able to make it work for you. And like Kathy, have some kind of a sense that there is hope out there. You just don't know how to grasp it, how to find it. And God miraculously used Lisa to speak into Kathy's life to help bring light into her darkness. But you have a story to share, and you're somewhere on the spectrum. You're either at the beginning of this whole thing, somewhere in process, or maybe you have a testimony to share on the other side. But in any case, it's time to hear from you. And the phone lines are open. And Lord, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to take control of our conversation today. We want to hear from you more than anything. And the stories that we're hearing from Lisa and Kathy and the miracle of what you've accomplished in their lives is the very same thing you want to do in all of our lives. And Lord, I pray against the spirit of isolation that would cause us to think, no, I'll be okay. I can do this in my own strength. But you said, Lord, that when we isolate ourselves, we seek our own desire and we rail against sound wisdom, that there is something to the idea of being together in Christ and experiencing Christ together in the process of being transformed into your image. And we thank you for the biblical principles laid out in the 12 steps. And Lord, this conversation has continued to push us back to your word, helping us to see the value of the light that you are in the midst of our darkness. And how interesting that the book that Lisa and Kathy have written is called Light in Our Darkness, Lord. It all fits together. We want to see your light today, and there are many in our listening audience who need to know that there's light in the midst of the darkness they're experiencing. Show us your light, we pray. God, I pray for those who are listening to say no to fear, but yes to you, and to pick up the phone and join the conversation, because, God, we want to hear you speaking in the midst of these conversations. It's for your glory that we do this, and we pray that your name would be lifted up. Lord, when we lift up the name of Jesus, you're going to be drawing people unto yourself. We believe that's going to happen today. In Jesus' name, amen. The phone number is 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area. Again, toll free, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. The devil is alive.
The definition of Oasis, Neil Bora, live.
Well, we know the plan of the enemy. It's to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, on the other hand, came to give us life and life more abundant. That's why we've been talking about the 12 steps here, because the plan of the enemy is to destroy us. God's is to build us into the individuals we were created to be, and we got the privilege and the pleasure of talking with Lisa Kratz, Thomas, and Kathy Gray about that in our 12-step series, which concludes today as we look at step 12, having had a spiritual awakening. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry their message to others who suffer and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. I want to get to the phones here, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Nick, listening in Dansville. That's a long way from Buffalo. How you doing, Nick?
Not bad at all.
All right, so what's up, man?
I called a couple weeks ago and shared a brief testimony about my struggle with addiction. I wanted to call because getting free from addiction, the only thing that really saved me was learning that I had to bring that pain to the cross. Like, you can't get away from it. You have to bring it to the cross. But until I did, I was surrounded by darkness. And then as soon as you do, it's a breath of fresh air. But I encourage anybody who may be struggling with this that even in Jesus' final moments, he said, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" God doesn't mind us questioning or asking him questions. So to anybody who may be wondering why things are happening to them, I encourage them to bring it to God.
Well, amen to that. Let me throw it to Lisa here, because Nick is saying don't handle it yourself, bring it to God, and I'm sure you're going to agree with him on this.
Well, absolutely. And Nick, I do remember you. I liked what you had to share, and so thanks for calling in on this 12th step, because you're right, and that's what this is all about. You know, you're saying you're encouraging anyone to bring it to God. And that's exactly what what it says in here is we carried our message of hope. And our message of hope is, I can't, he can, and I'm going to let him. And so I love that you called with that very simplistic yet powerful message. And it's the message that got us to surrender, is someone else shared with us the power of the living God. So I have to tell you, brother, I am so grateful that we have the freedom to be able to share that, and that we know that is the thing that sets people free. So, yeah, I'm in total agreement with you 100%. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nick. God bless you. And I don't want to mess with the dogs I heard in the background.
Yeah, I muted right away. I'm like, somebody locked those dogs up.
I didn't know if they were dogs or wolves, but, man, there's some serious animals you got there, Nick. But thank you for courageously talking about your own situation and what God's doing. Let me throw this one to Kathy, because it spins off of what Lisa was just saying to Nick there. And by the way, if you want to jump on board, it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Anything you want to add is fair game here. But Kathy, having grown up around the church, you know, you came like to this whole thing from a Christian perspective, but you were struggling in the midst of your walk with God. You said you couldn't really make Christianity work for you. You're not alone. And I think that may be as pervasive or more pervasive than the kind of thing Lisa struggled with, because Lisa was lost, and lost people struggle with sin. Some believers walk in victory over sin, but not all. A lot of times we get caught up in stuff that we can't say no to, we can't get away from, and God wants to help us, but we're too prideful to ask for help, and certainly not other people. Because, like, if the guy in the pew next to me finds out that I'm a struggler, what's he going to think of me? So I don't know if you wrestled with any of that kind of stuff in the body of Christ, but like Nick said, you know, things begin to change when we finally bring it to God and his light begins to enter the situation. We're just so reticent to do that. And spiritual pride can destroy us. And I don't want to overstate this, but I really think it's a path to destruction to say, you know, it's a nice little conversation here with Lisa and Kathy, but I can do this. I'll handle this on my own. Whatever it is, eventually it's going to work out for me, but I really don't want to truly bring it to God or mention it to anyone else. I'll just kind of deal with it and hopefully someday be victorious. But I think there's a real problem with that kind of thinking. Kathy, your thoughts about that?
Yes, it is spiritual pride, but it's disguised very cleverly by the enemy as shame.
Mm-hmm.
And shame tells us that we're worse than the person next to us, and no one's as bad as we are. And, you know, when shame is something, as Lisa said when we were up there, it's the silent killer. And, you know, so we have these problems, and we're too ashamed to really talk about it. We're afraid we're going to be rejected. We're just afraid of being exposed. And we go on, and it's like, well, yeah, I think I can really handle it. You know, I mean, I've been addicted to porn, or I've been alcoholically drinking for 20 years. But, you know, I think I've got this. And it's total delusion. You know, it's delusion. I was so stuck in anxiety, and it was like, but I got this. I can just trust the Lord some more. And, you know, I will tell you that what was helpful for me in the 12 steps, and I've said this the other weeks, is it never made me say, well, you know, you got to break down your God and get a new one or anything like that. I clung to Jesus through the process of working the steps. It helped me get to the principles in the scriptures that were all jumbled in my mind, even though I knew so much of the Bible. And that's when I really started connecting with the Lord and walking in that resurrection power that we all celebrated yesterday, that God has saved us to walk into that. I just had all these other things blocking me. And, you know, I think Lisa has the principles of all of these steps that it says we're going to walk in the principles of those steps, and she'll probably share that in a bit. But, definitely it's shame that keeps it down in us.
Well, let's just go there right now real quick, because we're going to be up against a break in a few minutes. But it says to not just walk in them, but practice them. And, Lisa, what I gather from that statement, that the end of step 12 here says, and to practice these principles in all our affairs, means that we continue to live this way, which implies that we need to continue to live this way, that it isn't like a magic switch gets flipped and our lives are perfect and we live happily ever after, that we continue to put into practice what we've learned. And I'm sure you've got something to say about all that.
Yeah, and so what is this way? And what are the principles that we have learned by working these steps? So from step one, we've learned the principle of honesty. Step two, hope. Step three, faith and action. Step four, courage. Step five, integrity. Six, willingness. Step seven, humility. Step eight, brotherly, sisterly love. Step nine, discipline and justice. Step 10, perseverance. Step 11, spiritual awareness. And step 12, joy and service. So those are the principles that we are talking about practicing in all our affairs.
Wow. All right. We'll break here. We'll be back in just a moment. We got Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray. So here's the question. What's your biggest concern today? What is really weighing heavy on your heart? It may be a personal issue. It may be something related to somebody you love, like a son or a daughter, or maybe it's a spouse. But you're carrying a pretty heavy weight today, wondering what tomorrow's going to look like and whether there's any hope. Because some of you have been praying about a particular situation or an individual or something about your own life for years, and it doesn't seem to be any significant change. Where do you go from here? So listen, like I've said before, you can use an alias if you want. Make up a fake name. That's okay. A lot of the 12-step groups end with the word anonymous, right? Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous. You can be anonymous. Just make up some kind of name. That's okay. But we want to talk about what you're wrestling with today, what's on your heart. And I believe there's some significant stuff God really wants to bring to the light and allow you to get some input on, to encourage you along the way. So let's hear from you. And by the way, some of you have been through some of this, and you've got a testimony to share. You're welcome as well. Phone lines are open, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Again, toll free, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Isn't Jesus? Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 8 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Vote for me, Pete Presnell, as Announcer of the Year.
And I've been washed by the blood.
Torrin Wells here with a popular Crowder song called All My Hope Is in Jesus. Lisa Kratz Thomas, K-R-A-T-Z, Lisa Kratz Thomas, and Kathy Gray are co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness. You can find it online and have it ordered for you at Cornerstone Bookshop, but I encourage you to check out their own websites, lisakratzthomas.com and kathygraydreamers.com. Two wonderful sites you need to check out for some of the other resources they have available, kathygraydreamers.com and lisakratzthomas.com. All right, back to the phones, and it's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 as we continue. Jason, going to get to you first, and then Tricia right after that. Jason, good to have you with us. You had a comment to make, and welcome
to
NBL.
Good day, brother. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining
us.
I'm
excellent, sir. Good. You know, just listening there, and we're trying to figure out, like you're saying, why things are the way they are and why we have certain issues. Maybe it's mental issues or maybe have some sort of pain or something like that. And just before your broadcast came on there, I was listening to a chiropractor's advertisement, and it kind of made me think, and I've done a lot of research through a place called Be In Health down in Atlanta, Georgia, Dr. Henry Wright. And he talks about maybe sciatica being related to some sort of self-conflict, maybe some anger, rage, or resentment, some unresolved depression or heaviness, even some occultism or confusion in our backgrounds. So there's a lot of things that might cause sciatica, including maybe the need to be loved. So these are the roots, I believe, that need to be looked at in order to get rid of this sort of pain. And a lot of other illnesses or symptoms or syndromes that we have.
It's interesting you mentioned sciatica. I've dealt with that in the past. But really, I think there's a broader issue you're trying to raise here, the idea that there can be psychosomatic. I think that's sometimes a word that gets thrown around. But you know, causes for pain and suffering. Kathy, let me ask you a question. You struggled with anxiety. I think that a lot of people who struggle with anxiety do so because of other things that are hidden, sort of lurking in the background, like fear and resentment. And in other words, hidden causes that manifest themselves in different ways. And we wonder, like, what the root could actually be. I don't know if you want to comment directly on what Jason's saying, but he does raise an interesting point. The idea that sometimes it's not exactly what it appears to be on the surface. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, actually, I was just writing some notes when Jason brought that up that have to do with this exact thing. So, you know, we look at someone who's an addict or an alcoholic, and we look at them and they're like, if they don't stop, they're going to kill themselves. Well, I will tell you that for those of us who love those people and who have the principles that God set up this world all twisted around in our minds, we will die from the effects of that as well. We have ulcers. I know in my own life, I had the anxiety, panic attacks. I couldn't turn my neck. My back was always out of whack. I had migraines. I was susceptible to illnesses. And what was underneath all of these symptoms and these, you know, the pains that he was bringing up was emotional trauma or a lie that I was believing that caused my body to react, because we really are three-part beings. We're body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. Everything's entwined. And so I agree with him. And, you know, thanks to God that he has unraveled and healed so much of that underneath the surface for me that I don't suffer from those things anymore. I just don't have those particular problems. And I didn't do anything that was a, you know, some huge therapy or whatever to have those things go away. I just was living without the fear, living without the bitterness, the anger, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too far on a limb, but I personally believe that stuff like obsessive compulsive behaviors, perfectionism and stuff have a fear component to them, that there's a fear of not measuring up or something. There's some kind of a lie even at the core of that stuff.
Yeah.
So he raises an interesting point. I'm not an expert on it, but I am sharing my personal belief there, because I just think that at times we want to look in every other place, but where we, you know, really need to go to deal with some of those core issues. All right, Jason, appreciate your phone call. Let me get to Tricia is next here. And if you want to join us, it's 800-684-2848. Or 883-5000. Tricia, welcome to NBL. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. I'm well in the Lord. Praise God for his resurrection.
Amen. Yeah, so you had a comment to make here. What's up?
Well, I agree. I agree even with the last perfectionism. Previously, how I hooked up, actually, and I called this. I made a phone call was regarding being self-sufficient and the sufficiency of oneself, right? And I'm speaking as the world would say, being one in oneself and sufficient, not all of that. I am a born-again believer. I'm a Yeshua believer. I'm a Messianic Jew for over 40 years. The Lord drew me in my childhood. Well, basically, I come from Poland, and during that time, knowing also how Christianity had a big influence on my family, being hid and saved from Holocaust and all of this, you know. Anyway, we won't go back there because there's a lot of testimony there, but I just want to say this. Watching as a grandmother of three grandchildren, and I am actually quite okay to go with my name, Tricia, even my last name. Maybe some of the listeners even might know me in a sense of who I am in Christ. But, you know, the perfectionism in this world, people turning into yoga, turning into perfect bodies, the self-obsession of, you know, I can do it on my own. And, you know, I don't want to pinpoint that on my own family. I really don't. I have two awesome, amazing, beautiful daughters. And, you know, the love of Christ, it never will stop, because they were brought up in the church. they were brought up in Christ, but of course they have drawn into their own ways for those things, self-sufficiency and also the obsessiveness of perfectionism. Especially in my family, we had a terrible thing happen. I had a concussion actually about a year and a half, and my son-in-law had a concussion, and he walks with that concussion right now. And the three grandchildren that I have, which boy basically prayed for an inheritance in the Lord, as a Jewish daughter of Zion, that's not happening. So where do I go to the Lord now? Do I leave and I say, okay, my hand's up? No, I carry the promises that God has given me. And I shall walk in the promises. And I know that I know without a shadow of a doubt, no matter how far and how deep and how heavy that, you know, I saw the movie Moses twice because it was, that's all, and I opened it at my daughter's place, that's all there was on the TV that was making any sense. And I saw that water going apart. Well, that's how God does in our lives. We have come out of Egypt, and we carry our, but we are not taking the burdens of our sins. We are safe in Him. And this is what God has, through this season, this time as such, has given me a spirit of God so awesome and more so than ever in my life. At my, I'm 67, and I'm going to say it not proudly, you know, and God has taken all the pain away.
Amen. All right. Well, let me throw it to Lisa here to comment on Trisha's story. Obviously, a believer in Jesus, Yeshua, and not afraid to continue to look in his direction no matter what circumstances look like. But your thoughts?
Well, first of all, thanks for sharing, and I can hear your, you know, your heart towards this and your passion. You know, it's your kids, and I totally get that. You know, all I kept thinking about was, you know, TD Jake says a setback is a setup for a comeback. And I got to tell you, that is something that I have kept in my mind. You know, I dealt with, and I've shared this before, my daughter was 23 at the time, had to have a liver transplant. And I can tell you there's no way that I could have ever been prepared for that. And during that time, I was in a situation where I had been praying for her up until the time she had to get a transplant. And, you know, there are times that we grow so weary that we fall off the beam. And that doesn't mean we're not believers. That doesn't mean we're not going in for it. But I'll tell you something. What I realized was all the people, all the friends I had made that were true believers, I mean true believers, not the kind of people that say they're going to pray for you when you put something on Facebook, okay? I mean people, I had a text going of people that I would send a message to, Kathy being one of them, when things would happen with my daughter. Because I'm telling you, I need it. I was Moses, and I needed Aaron's all around me to hold my hands up. Mm-hmm. I just could not do it on my own. I was so physically exhausted taking care of her that, but I never felt like the presence of God left me. So I'm saying all that to say that no matter whether we are strong like you seem to be, that you are going in, girl. I mean, I can tell you got your battle on. And you are going in. You are strong for the fight. And I'm with you because I am always up for a good fight, okay? Give me a fight and I am in the ring, okay? But I also want to also tell you that there may be a time when you grow weary. And just know that you've got believers around you who will hold your arms up. Mm. We will pray for your children. We will stand with you in that gap. Because sometimes it feels like we do this thing alone. And that's the beauty of, that's the beauty of what we've been talking about all these weeks, is that we never have to do anything alone. That we've got people mm-hmm. around us, who love the Lord, and God has placed them in our vicinity for us to rely on them. So I just want to say, you know, thank you. Stay strong. And if that compulsion there to be weak happened, it's okay, because God will intervene no matter what. He knows your heart. So thanks for calling us and sharing that powerful story.
Amen. Thank you so much. And we will continue with Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray. We've got a line for you now if you want to join us. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
In the social media world of selfies, likes, and shares, NBL is your lifeline for real talk about real stuff.
Texted during the break, God never leaves us, never. And that's a hard concept for some to receive. I want to get back to the phones here. Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray with us in our series we're doing on the 12 steps. And I want to welcome Pat to the conversation. Pat, you had a question that isn't directly related to the 12 steps, but Zach Mann said it might be germane to the overall conversation we've had in the sense.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, I, you know, it's the first time I'm listening to your program or calling in. I was telling that there are about 7 billion people in the world. If we suspend ourselves above the planet, we are going to see, like, there are about 5 significant religions that we all believe in, but we pray to a god and we pray to a goddesses. Wouldn't the world be safer and much better if we pray to our divine guardian rather than pray to a single god? Because according to the dictionary, the Webster, their god, their gods, their goddess, their goddesses, their angels, and so on. So if we all pray to divine guardians, I think the world would be a much happier place.
All right.
And
so
I wanted to get your opinion.
Yeah, and it's a very valid question because actually going all the way back to step two in dealing with life's issues, step two in the 12 steps says came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three said made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God, which is interesting because Lisa, some people, and Kathy, we're going to get you in on this too, but some people really don't understand God the way you and I look at him and may not believe in God at all. There may be people who say, I want nothing to do with the five religions. I'm an atheist. So where do you go with something like this? And it's a legitimate question. Pat, I'm thrilled that you're listening today.
Yeah, I'm thrilled too, because here's the thing. I think what happens, at least what happened for me, and that's all I can talk about, Pat, is what happened for me, is that when the going got tough, I had to go with where the power was. And what I found was love is the power, as you're talking about. But as we expand this thing out, the more that we spend time to get to know the God of our understanding, the more he will reveal himself.
Amen.
And so that's why I believe that 12-step is so absolutely intentional from the God that I understand, because it gives us all the opportunity to come in where we are and to grow our faith. Now, I have to say for me that my God is big enough, bad enough, he can kick in the doors of hell at any time. And what I believe is that because he is so loving, because he is so competent, that he, Jesus for me, allows for people to believe what they want because he is very secure in who he is and what he did. Now, there are people who come to 12-step, they believe that there's power in a doorknob or a tree branch. And you know what? If that's giving them good, orderly direction at the beginning, you know what I say? Have at it. Because if you've never had any faith at all in anything, you've got to grow it from the ground up. So I say, you know, explore those things. Read what you can. Talk about these things with people that you can and see what really works. See where the power really comes from.
Amen. So well said. And Jesus himself, you know, made the claim, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. The reality is, and this is an answer to your question, Pat, I think that when we honestly search for God and we seek for him with all of our heart, he reveals himself to us. I don't think to go along with what Lisa's saying, I don't think in any way that God is intimidated by saying, hey, listen, you have choices because God is the one who gave us choice in the first place. Now, there's right choices and there's wrong choices, and I believe that he desires that we would come to know him. But in the roundabout way that we take sometimes to arrive at the truth, God graciously, lovingly woos us to himself and gives us the opportunity to believe, as Kathy said, in a doorknob if necessary, so that we begin somewhere, believing in something beyond ourselves, and God then can begin to reveal what a relationship with him would look like and who he really is. You know, he's the one who put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. He's the one who put it there. And he didn't prevent Adam and Eve from eating from the tree that would ultimately lead to spiritual death and their separation from God. But looking into the future, he knew that he could redeem mankind unto himself by sending Jesus, the Savior of the world. And God's not threatened by the fact that some people don't believe in him because he's constantly wooing them. And I believe that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will that happen? No, I don't think so, because God is loving enough to allow people to choose a way for themselves. And in some cases, that's rejection of God, perhaps in many cases, because the word says that the way that leads to destruction is broad, but the one that leads to life is narrow. But the fact is, God set it up this way, and then he revealed himself to us through nature, and through truth, and through relationships, and through what he did for us at Calvary, which we just celebrated the other day. Kathy, your comment quickly. We won't spend too much more time here, but I don't think there's any threat whatsoever to say, I'm not sure what I believe right now, but I think there's a God. Why would we want to focus on just one? That's honestly not what we've said at the beginning of the 12-step conversation.
No, it's not. And actually, the great thing about the 12 steps is that no one is making anyone or requiring anyone to, like, we all have to pray to the same understanding of a God, like our caller was saying, the world would be a happier place. Actually, I would, you know, respectfully disagree that we are each seeking God, and the thing that we're talking about is a group of people and a set of principles and steps to follow in order to discover God. And God is revealing himself to us through that, as you said, Neil. And, you know, there is a creator of the universe, and he's pretty good at revealing himself. So we don't have to worry if someone else is, you know, doesn't have any concept of God. But in 12 steps, you do have to have a concept of God eventually, or it doesn't work. And so, yeah, I'm not sure I would agree that we all should just call God this one thing. I don't think that certainly doesn't fit with the 12 steps.
Well, and it also implies in some fashion that God needs us to help point everyone in his direction. I mean, ultimately, that is what we're called to be as his witnesses, right? We can tell the story of what God has done in our lives, and the God that we've come to know in the process of discovering truth and discovering who he is. But on the other hand, only he can lift the veil and allow people to actually see the truth of who he is, because there's an awful lot of really smart people who, you know, are presidents of universities, and they have doctorates and PhDs and all kinds of stuff, who for whatever reason have been presented with the truth clearly by some of the greatest minds on the planet, people like Ravi Zacharias, who still cannot see who God really is. And our prayer needs to be that God himself would lift the veil, because he is in the business of revealing himself to us, which he did clearly in the person of Jesus and through his word. So anyway, all right, Pat, very grateful that you're listening to the conversation and glad to have you with us today. Let me get to Cindy in Buffalo because we're running out of time here. And Cindy, thanks for joining us on MBL. How are you?
Good, thanks, Neil. I'll try and make this quick. It's going to be kind of disjointed because there's so much running through my mind. First of all, I don't know what I'm going to do every Monday. I literally crawled. I have a physical disability. Crawl out of bed to get a coffee and listen to the show.
Aww.
Just last thing. So thank you for that. I was a veteran caller. I called about somebody that I had plans with who passively suicide from alcohol. Kathy and Lisa have put a stamp on what was tormenting me. So every day I hear their conversation in my head. I wanted to talk about the quiet shame and the pride. He would come from meetings and say, there's a lot of God in that room. Man, there's a lot of God in that room. And but he never mocked it or said anything. You know, he had the quiet shame that he'd speak of to me only. And he had pride and arrogance, like, you know, the nature of an addict. You know, this is my life. I'm going to do what I want, you know, stuff like that to hide what I think was really hurt. So I don't know that he ever came to Christ, you know, out loud or silently. So, you know, that thing sort of still torments me. He would say to me also when they spoke about the failures, that was very much what he said. You know, I can't get anything right. You know, I just screw up. You know, I'm constantly screwing up. When something would go wrong, or he would, you know, go back to drinking after the rehabs. And, you know, so I know that was bothering him, and then that would send him further down the rabbit hole. And then he even made the remark, he says, you know, even the losers get lucky sometimes. And I blew it. And I just thought, wow. So I'm still kind of, you know, tormented by, you know, he did drink himself to death and planned on doing it. And I still feel like, you know, did he ever say the sinner's prayer? Did he do this? Like, that's bothering me. And one more thing is, you know, the Al-Anon person, you know, that I'm going to at the suggestion of the girls, I was actually shunned and mocked, ridiculed and mocked out for supporting him, you know, when he needed support. I didn't enable him. I didn't do that. You know, I was there as a support and drew back when I needed to. So I just wish they weren't leaving. Every Monday I get something out of this. They can't go. They cannot go.
They're not leaving forever. They're not going anywhere forever, I promise. We're going to find other ways to include them in future conversations, for sure. You can count on that. But, Kathy, can you respond, since she's talking about, you know, some stuff that I think you'd be a little more adept to answer here?
Yeah, just watching someone else in this affliction of alcoholism and drug addiction is incredibly painful. And I am so sorry that you had the experience where you were getting ridiculed and chastised for helping in the way that you knew how to, that wasn't enabling. That's not the place of other people to tell us. But I will tell you this, you know, God, his heart, the heart of Jesus, who came to save the world from sins, his heart is big enough for you to find the comfort that you're looking for. You found it in other things, maybe even as you said through this program and things that we've said. But I believe the Lord Jesus is going to give you the comfort deep in your heart, because he's big enough for this, and he has him in his hands. He knew about it from the beginning, before he even created him. And my prayer for you is that you will come to a place of total comfort and freedom where it's not plaguing you anymore. I'm so glad you shared.
Yeah, absolutely. Lisa, you may have something you want to add as well.
I do. I just want to say that, you know, God knows our heart. God knew your loved one's heart. And because we don't hear it, okay, because we don't hear it does not mean that there was not a personal relationship there. I'm not trying to blow up anything that isn't, but I just have to tell you, like Kathy said, you keep seeking God, and I believe God knew your husband's heart. He knows your heart, and I think there is peace in that. There's peace in that.
Absolutely. Thank you, and well said, both of you. By the way, that's something that comes up a lot. I served as a pastor for a number of years, and you'd hear people say, you know, that they were distraught because they never heard a friend or loved one say that they were followers of Jesus, although they were those who occasionally attended church or something. They just never heard them say the words. And I said something very similar. Listen, we don't know. You don't know what a person's doing in the final 5 minutes when they're here on the planet. They may very well finally be coming to their senses and calling out to the only one who can save their soul. So rather than allow yourself to be beat up, I say let's go with what Lisa's saying and trust that God knows hearts and can read them way better than we can. Yeah, absolutely, right? We honor God with our lips, but God is the one who knows our hearts.
Spirit. Feeling down? I got you. Neil Boron, live.
Wow, I don't even know how to comprehend what's about to happen here as we get ready to wrap up our 12-step series. That's not even possible. We did 2 weeks on week nine, step nine. Did 9A and 9B kind of. And then, of course, there was an introductory week. So I'm counting 14 different times that we've had the privilege of talking about all this. And I just kind of want to throw it out to you guys and give you each a chance to just speak from your heart for, you know, a couple of minutes. And we'll worry about the time thing later. But this has really been a rich conversation. And I believe there have been a whole lot of people influenced that were unable to call because they were at work or they've been only able to listen while they're driving in a car or something and don't have a hands-free device. So, you know, there's all kinds of stories we don't know about, but I know for sure that God has been at work. He's definitely been at work in my own heart in the midst of these conversations, and I can't say how grateful I am to both of you for being so kind to join us over all these weeks. But let me start with Kathy, I guess, and just say, how would you tie a ribbon on everything we've discussed here, and how would you want to leave this conversation today?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Neil, for having us on. It has been a really sweet time of discovery for me and Lisa as we've worked on it together, and just all of the discussions and the callers. It's been amazing. I would just encourage the listeners, whether you're struggling with an obsession with a substance or a behavior or an obsession with the people around you, that for myself and for Lisa, we have found the Lord use of the 12 steps of recovery to completely transform our way of looking at the world and ourselves and Him. And I just encourage you to find a group, whether it's Celebrate Recovery or Al-Anon AA, and any of the 12-step groups that are appropriate to what you're wrestling with. Just encourage you to go and give it a try, and just and to bring the things that have been plaguing you deep down inside into the light, and not keep them inside and just think it's just going to get better tomorrow, because we really need one another. And Lisa and I have certainly found a lot of encouragement, growth, and comfort in the rooms of 12-step recovery.
Amen. So well said. Lisa?
Wow. Well, you know, I think about the fact that we've been talking, you know, done little mini studies on these steps every week. And, you know, we've been talking about problems because we're problem people, but we're problem people who have found a way up and a way out. And it's our wish to share that knowledge with other people, because you know what? It's really only by accepting and solving our problems that we can begin to get right with ourselves. And when we get right with ourselves, we get right with God, we get right with the world, we get right with our family. But what keeps ringing in my head is the fact that, you know, every day of our lives, every one of us is seeking a deeper meaning. And I think that what really puts this all together is the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
So well said, and it's so true. And I know I've communicated this to you guys off the air, but I just believe that there have been so many people influenced and encouraged by your stories, by the conversations we've had, that we will probably never know about till we get to heaven. But if you want, you know, to reach out to either Lisa or Kathy, you could do so by sending us an email to nbl@wdcxradio.com, and I can forward it, or you can get in touch with Lisa at Lisa Kratz, K-R-A-T-Z, lisakratzthomas.com, or Kathy by going to KathyGrayDreamers.com, KathyGrayDreamers.com, or LisaKratzThomas.com, and just kind of express your thoughts about the impact that their stories and lives have had on your life. You've been listening in stealth mode, in a sense, because we don't know you're there. You haven't had the privilege of calling the show, or you're, you know, at work or something, but it's had an impact in your life. I think it would be encouraging for them to hear from you. And just so grateful that you guys have shared so much of your personal stories to help encourage us, because we're problem people, Lisa, as you said, and we need help with our problems. So like Kathy learned, we bring them to Jesus and we get into the light, and everything starts to look different when we can finally see what's going on, and God begins to do the work that he does so well in the light. So, Lord, I thank you for Lisa and for Kathy, their lives, their families, their ministry, for the book, Light in Our Darkness, for all that you've done here. We just ask you, Lord, to continue the work of growing us to be the people you created us to be. Thank you that in the midst of our sin and struggle, you appeared, Lord Jesus, and you provided us with hope and peace and direction and wisdom. And for those that are struggling who don't know you, they don't even know if there is a God, I thank you that you are fully capable of revealing yourself. Lord, you did that when you gave us the Word of God, when you gave us Jesus, and you continue to reveal yourself in so many different ways. Thank you that we have people listening who don't know what they actually believe, but are looking for answers and looking for hope. And so, Lord, we've been blessed in so many ways, and we know that you've been active in our lives, but I pray that this conversation, these 14 weeks, actually, that we've done all of these conversations and focused on the 12 steps, that they would continue to draw us into more meaningful relationship with you and with others in the body of Christ, that we can truly experience the freedom that you gave us and that was purchased for us at Calvary. So, Lord, bless Lisa and Kathy abundantly. May their lives and ministries flourish, and we look forward to having them back with us again soon here on MBL. Lord, we feel so honored by what you've done in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And you are not allowed to never be on the show again, so you officially are now forced to come back, even if you don't want to. You'll be back again somehow, some way. We'll figure all that out, but just so appreciate you guys. God bless you.
All right, Neil. Stay strong. God bless you, too.
All right. Lisa, say hi to Tom.
Bless you,
Kathy,
Neil.
Say hi to Dave, and we'll be in touch. God bless. So we'll be back with more of NBL here on WDCX. Thank you for listening. 12-step series. We did an introductory week and divided week 9 into 2 steps. So 14 different conversations culminating right here. And thank you all for participating with your comments and questions as well.